Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna add you to my roster. In Roto, replacing Gio Soto, Giolito, and Brito, baby, where'd my fab go? Near the Florida Keys, there's a place in Miami, that's where you wanna be to get ahead of your league. If you put Posey at sea, he'll help in points or OBP. Heath will approve, cause he's under 30, cause Heath's an ageist on the podcast. Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara, Herrera, Cabrera. Don't let the bandit scare ya. Machado or Bono or no.
Just one more week of fantasy baseball. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. It's time to win a championship. Yeah.
Yeah.
All Woo. Right, let's help the people out, Scott. Let's win them some ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, Scott.
A whole fleet of ships.
Mild enthusiasm. Yes, let's actually get them some actual ships. I think we should send people like little, maybe like ships in a bottle if they win.
Yeah, maybe. That. Well, I don't know. That sounds kind of hard to ship.
Yeah. Nice.
And
nice,
that I just like came that. Out and build up to it.
So he's a poet and he doesn't even know it. So
yeah.
All right, Adam Azer, Scott White here with this Friday show. We're going to have a show on Monday and then that's going to be it. We're going to do one a week after that for the off season. So yeah, anyway, let's get to it. Two star pitchers, hot hitters. I've got a very interesting question I'd like to pose to Scott, but first, you know, we didn't do a show yesterday. I really apologize for that. We had some technical issues that we were working through. We could not get good enough quality to put out a show. So really sorry about that. We're going to make up for it today. Scott.
Yes.
Few guys who went yesterday have two starts next week, and they're interesting. Clay Buchholz, 22% owned. Chad Kuhl, 29% owned. And Ubaldo Jimenez, who has a 309 ERA in his last five starts with a bunch of ground balls and a 303 opponent slugging percentage. Anyway, they all did well on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yeah. You said yesterday
yes,
first.
You're right. Sorry, I meant Wednesday.
We would have talked about them on yesterday's show that didn't happen.
Right.
Right.
Buchholz is at the Yankees at home against Toronto. Kuhl is home against the Cubs and at St. Louis. And Jimenez is at Toronto and at the Yankees. Do you feel comfortable with any of those three guys for next week?
The one who gives me the most comfort is actually Kuhl. Even though Cubs, Cardinals, yeah, not great matchups, but 10 of his 12 starts have been either quality or an inning short of quality. And I really don't think you're going to find much better. If you're looking for a two-star pitcher and you want him to find him on waivers, I just don't think you're going to find many better options, even with the tough matchups.
What really scares me, though, is that you mentioned all the quality starts from Kuhl. The two bad starts that he's had were against the Cubs and the Cardinals.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I think it's a situation where if those scare you, then you're looking at your one-start options, which is fine.
Go.
I mean, nobody says you have to start a two-star pitcher.
Right.
But that's a big deal to a lot of people.
It's just a shame because three of the guys who had good starts leading into a two-start week on this Wednesday have tough matchups next week. I mean, Buchholz at the Yankees might not be so bad. Home against Toronto could be pretty bad. Kuhl, Cubs and Cardinals. And then Jimenez, who's just hard to trust anyway, at Toronto and at the Yankees. You know, it's not great. Here's a Week 26 question for you. Would you sit Carlos Correa for as Drubal Cabrera in week 26.
Very specific scenario you've laid out here. I don't think I would, but if you can find a way to get as Drubal in your lineup, it's probably a good idea. Last 28 days, number one shortstop in both head-to-head and roto leagues.
Yes, home runs in two straight games, walk-off job on Thursday night. But it's not only that. Correa is in a prolonged slump here. 252, 320 on base, 348 slugging with two home runs in his last 31 games. Correa has as many home runs in 31 games as Cabrera has in his last two games. So I brought this up because I just think the Correa owner might be frustrated right now. Maybe you're not, maybe you have a, you know, VR and Correa and now it's Correa at utility and somebody else. You know, Correa's matchups next week, Iwakuma, Felix Hernandez, James Paxton, Chacin, Wright, and Weaver for the Angels.
Ooh, some nice ones at the end there, huh?
Cabrera's got much better matchups, though. Kohler, Urena, Cashner, Asher, Thompson, and Eichhoff. Three on the road at Miami, three on the road at Philadelphia.
But it's just, I mean, that's the thing about hot and cold streaks. You never know when they're going to end. That's clearly it's a hot streak for Cabrera. Clearly it's a cold streak for Correa. But, I mean, it's as likely, it's probably more likely than some of the scenarios you could lay out that Correa turns it around next week and Cabrera, they both turn it around. Now, I think if you're, you know, if you have a much lesser hitter than Carlos Correa, maybe even in a utility spot that you're looking to replace, then I do think Cabrera picking up the hot hand for that is fine, especially if those matchups are favorable.
One thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that Cabrera has been much better at home this year. Well, not much better, but better at home this year than on the road. And even in this hot stretch, better at home than on the road. Although, I know the batting average has still been great on the road in this hot stretch. The power has come mostly at home, and he's got six road games next week. So, all right. Look, he's still hitting pretty well during this streak on the road, just not getting those home runs. But at Philadelphia, good park for him. Hey, Scott, you know, we're recording this podcast earlier today than we have been in recent days because I have an afternoon wedding to attend. And yes, I am very excited to see some old friends. I'm actually more excited, though, to put my Indochino suit on and show it off. It's really an awesome, sleek, beautiful gray suit. It fits me absolutely perfectly. I really could not have asked for a better finished product. I'm so happy with it. And you can have a suit this awesome for just $389 if you use our promo code FBT. People pay double that for a made-to-measure suit, if not more. You know, we're talking over $800 for made-to-measure suits. $389 on Indochino.com. Guys, I really want you to consider Indochino. Go to Indochino.com. The offer code to use is FBT, as in Fantasy Baseball Today. That offer won't last forever. Now, you may not need a suit right now, but you're going to need one eventually. Indochino.com, Indochino.com. You will not regret it. You're a grown man. You need a great suit. So try Indochino. And you know what? Your satisfaction's guaranteed. Not only is shipping free, but if you don't like the suit, you get your money back. There's no reason not to try it. Go to Indochino.com. Get a premium suit for $389 by using our promo code FBT. And you'll be supporting our show as well. Get ready to look like $1 million. Well, we're trying to help people with next week's lineup, Scott. So I looked at the Padres, I looked at the Brewers, and I looked at the Phillies. And I'm not going to read all of the pitchers that are facing them. What I'm going to ask you is, do you see any pitchers on those schedules that are available that you would pick up to stream against the Padres, Brewers, or Phillies?
Well, as one start pitchers, obviously.
Not all of them.
You don't. Well, I'm scanning through them right now, so sorry, this is not.
Right. Okay. So I'll give you the options. Brett Anderson, the one start guys. Brett Anderson, Scott Kazmir, Braden Shipley, Archie Bradley, AJ Griffin, Derek Holland, Chad Bettis, Tim Anderson. Those two games are in Colorado. Matt Whistler, Robert Gazelman, Josh Colemanter. I think he's got a two start week actually. No, he doesn't, actually. Colemanter's just got this one start against the
Phillies. Against Philly.
But Colemanter, Whistler, and Gazelman?
I mean, I don't really want to. if I had to, the pitchers, you know, the caliber of pitcher who might be available, honestly, Colemanter might be the best one because yeah, I feel like Whistler has more implosion potential because he's such an extreme flyball pitcher. And Colemanter, I mean, he's had a couple pretty good years. He can be deceptive with that straight over the top delivery. And we've seen two good starts from back to back. The most recent one was 7 innings yesterday. So I don't want to, but if you're making me like, okay, I'm down to four pitchers. I just need the best one start option I can find. Then at least facing these three lineups, which are good lineups to target, then Cole Mentor makes the most sense.
Okay. So, you know, we're not just going to do lineup advice. We want to have a little bit of fun on here. Your stat of the day, we were supposed to do this on Thursday's show, but instead it's Friday's show. Gary Sanchez is the fastest player in baseball history to hit 19 home runs. The most home runs in the first 45 games of a career. The leaderboard looks like this. Gary Sanchez with 19, Wally Burger with 17, Wally Joyner with 16.
Wally heavy category.
Yeah, Wally World with Evan Gaddis, that was another note. Jose Abreu, not Evan Gaddis, he's not part of this. Jose Abreu with 16, Kevin Moss with 15, Zeke Benura with 15, Albert Pujols, Mike Jacobs, Sam Horn, and Ryan Braun with 14. Yankees, people who cover the Yankees often reference Kevin Moss with Gary Sanchez. Moss got off to this great start. Again, 15 home runs in his first 45 games compared to 19 for Sanchez. And then he was a nothing for the rest of his career. But nobody really thinks that's going to happen to Gary Sanchez. But I wanted you to look at that list and tell me if you could come to any conclusions and what it means for Gary Sanchez next year.
Yeah, if we're relying on historical precedent as the only means of assessing this start to Sanchez's career, then it's pretty inconclusive. I mean, Pujols and Braun have been Hall of Fame caliber players. Jose Abreu's a stud right now. Wally Joyner, he wasn't a big time power hitter over his career, but he followed his rookie season with an even better sophomore season, career high in home runs that year. I actually looked at Wally Burger and Zeke Bonura. The first few years of their careers, they were stud hitters. So that just leaves Kevin Moss, notorious bust.
Yeah.
Mike Jacobs and Sam Horn, none of whom were very good. But I mean, even in Jacobs' case, those 45 games where he hit the 14 home runs were split between two seasons. So it's hard to make anything of that. And he wasn't expected. Like, Jacobs wasn't some top prospect who everybody got excited about. Let people down. I think everybody kind of, it was recent enough for me to remember that as a fantasy writer, we were all talking him down after he got off to this hot start. So, I think Sanchez is a different case. I'm surprised that, Trevor Story isn't on this list. That surprises me. The impact he made in April.
Yeah, it's a good point. I guess he just didn't quite get there. I'm trying to look up Gary Sanchez's average fly ball distance. Remember, we had this conversation a few weeks ago when he first got going, and Chris Towers told me that it was among the best in baseball, but he doesn't have enough at bats to qualify, I guess, to get on good old baseball heat maps. But every home run Gary Sanchez hits, it seems, he's just crushing. It seems very legit, but he wasn't a big home run guy in the minors, right?
No, the totals weren't there, but the scouting reports always made him out to be like a middle of the order power bat. So I think it's one of those cases where, the player gets to the major leagues and starts backing up the scouting reports in a way he didn't in the minors, which we see a lot. I mean, we saw from Trout. That's the example I always go to.
Yeah, exactly. Cool, Scott. All right, let's move on to your news and notes. Masahiro Tanaka is going to miss Monday's start with a slight forearm strain. The Yankees say that this is unrelated to his partially torn UCL, but Tanaka might not make another start this season. Let's be honest here. If they're out of contention by next weekend, he's not going to start.
Yeah, why risk it? I'd be very afraid to start him this week. By the way, Trevor Story hit his 14th home run, which was the lowest total on this list. He hit his 14th home run in his 47th game.
Oh, he missed by two. Missed the cut.
Yeah.
Johnny Cueto is expected to miss his next start with a groin strain, but he could still start next week. But he could have a setback. So start him at your own risk.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Giants, like, if they can tape him and sew him together, they will, because they need every win they can get. So I feel okay about starting Cueto. It is a little risky, of course.
Sure, certainly less risky than Tanaka.
Yeah.
Kevin Gossman, his next start is going to be pushed back due to rib cage discomfort. So they are hoping Gossman can pitch Tuesday or Wednesday at Toronto. Another one. This is annoying. Kyle Hendricks is going to start Monday for the Cubs on 7 days rest. And then on Tuesday, they're just going to use their bullpen. So that's another thing to consider when you look at Cool facing the Cubs. Who knows what the Cubs are going to be throwing out there next week in terms of lineups. But like starting less, they're going to have to get Lester lined up. They're going to have to get all their guys lined up for postseason starts. You're not going to be afraid to start Lester, Arrieta, Hendricks and Lackey and Hamill. You tell me. I'm going to stop talking.
I think it's hard because the Cubs rotation is so deep that you don't, I mean, you'd figure Lester would be their number one, right? Well, that's not even for sure because they could just go Arrieta number one based on, based on their level of comfort with him, him being last year's Cy Young winner. So you have no idea how they want their rotation to line up. I think it's plausible that Hendricks still makes two starts next week, Tuesday and then on the final day of the season. Because I would assume he wouldn't be better than their third starter, and they wouldn't want him to be too rested for that third start. So that I'm kind of still treating him that way. But there are a lot of high-end pitchers lined up for two starts next week that you really shouldn't expect to get two starts. The most obvious to me, I think, are Max Scherzer and Corey Kluber. Clearly the number one starters for their respective teams. So they're not going to be pitching on the last day of the season as they're lined up to do. I think we can say that with confidence.
When
right?
do the playoffs start? Because you got the wild card games.
Yeah, I tried to look that up. It wasn't obvious. There probably is a good answer to that. But it would be different days for different series, and I'm not sure they figured all that out yet.
Yeah.
Obviously, because we don't know what teams are in. But I, you know, if you want, based on precedent, if you want, you don't pitch your number one on the last day of the season. You want him to be more rested than that.
When is the last day of the season? It's a Sunday?
Sunday, yes.
All right. So listen, the playoffs start after the wild card games. They start on Thursday.
Okay.
And then Friday, some series will start on Friday. So
right. It
is possible.
That would be short rest. Well, yeah, it is possible if it's a Friday series, but I'm not sure how soon they'll know that. They may
actually
not know.
You know what? The American League starts on Thursday. So
right.
AL right, division would... winner number three versus number two, and then the wild card. Both of the AL series start on Thursday, and the NL series begin on Friday. So is it possible that Scherzer could pitch on Sunday in that case?
It would be on regular rest in that case. But I'm not sure. Like, there, you don't want him too rested, but a couple extra days rest, I don't know. Let me put it this way. If Scherzer starts on Sunday, it'll probably be like a three-inning tune-up start.
Okay. Now,
I mean, you're starting him either way, right? That's the thing about
and
these top of the line. If they lose their second start, okay, you know, they're pitchers. You start one start or two, so it doesn't make that big of a difference in terms of how you set up your lineup. But it obviously changes your expectations in terms of what number of starts you're going to be getting.
Sure. So it's funny to it's funny when you look at the playoff schedule on MLB.com. It's like AL division winner number three at AL division winner number two, and then it's like NL lower seed at the Cubs. They're the one team that's set in stone right now.
Yeah.
Steven Matz had a setback. He's not going to start today. Mauricio Cabrera got a save for Atlanta, but that was because Jim Johnson had gotten a save each of the previous 2 days. Starling Marte returned from his back injury and then left with back tightness, so that was crappy to see. And Starlin Castro could be back soon for the Yankees. Some hitters to talk about. I guess you could feel all right starting Will Myers next week. His last 12 games, Myers is batting .300 with 3 home runs, 7 walks, 12 Ks.
Yeah, I'd feel all right about it.
Okay. Andrew McCutchen, though, last 39 games, he's got a .907 OPS, so start him.
Yep.
And now it's going to be interesting to see how we value McCutchen going into next year, but we'll talk about that in one of our off-season shows. Matt Kemp homered twice in September. He's batting .361 with 7 home runs and 5 doubles. Brad Miller homered twice on Wednesday against the Yankees, but he'd been pretty cold for about a month. So, like, it's not even a question. Is Drubal Cabrera over Brad Miller, obviously?
Yeah, not that Brad Miller's a bad start. Well, 3 lefties on the schedule next week. Not a great start. But anyway, I wanted to point out Matt Kemp, his numbers since joining the Braves. Actually, more walks as a Brave than as a Padre this year. He's,
not that many, though, right?
Well, 17 walks. I mean, it's not a high walk rate, but it's not embarrassing like it was before. I think we've seen definite improvement from him since changing teams. This is the second most home runs he's hit in the season, by the way.
And remember the owner of the Padres, I think it was the owner, maybe it was somebody in the front office, called him out for basically not playing hard. So you look at the fact that he barely walked. I mean, it's possible that he's just got a better approach now.
I think that's totally, like, you know, if you're not as focused, I mean, you're not going to be as selective at the plate. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's a speculation.
I'm sure there are analysts out there that would totally poo-poo that idea.
No, I think it's right. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it's right. I think we nailed it. With Matt Kemp, we figured it out. Tommy Joseph, 46% owned in his last 9 games. Tommy Joseph is 13 for 30 with 4 home runs.
Good catcher option.
Robert Quinn has stolen a couple of bases if you need steals. And we've talked about enough Phillies. So how about Tom Murphy or Tommy Joseph?
I think I would trust Tommy Joseph to get more playing time, though. Ryan Howard, since it's his last year with the Phillies, I heard some chatter that he might play more than expected the final week.
Right.
Hopefully not too much.
Right. And Trey Mancini for Baltimore, he homered again, but I think Scott Mancini's probably only going to DH against lefties, right? They'll have Alvarez in against righties.
Right. Both of his starts were against lefties. Homered off Price, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool. And Mike Trout, you know, it's just a bad time to own Mike Trout. He's been cold. Last 16 games, Trout's hitting .273, .406 on base. That's pretty good. But a .382 slugging, 1 home run, 4 steals, double and a triple in 16 games.
Don't even ask me.
No, I'm not. It's just funny how it works. You know, he's been so great. But if you're playing against Mike Trout right now, you pick good time to play against him. So I want to just look at one start pitchers, and then we're going to look at every pitcher that we have listed as a two-start pitcher and do start or sit. But if some one-start pitchers, do you have to sit Alex Cobb off a terrible start on Wednesday at the White Sox and Chris Sale next week?
Yeah, he basically resigned himself. After that start, he expressed resignation that he's not going to be right until next season. So if he has that little confidence in himself, I have little confidence in him too.
Daniel Mengden is 7% owned. And he's had a couple of nice starts in a row. I mean, this last one, he was scoreless through 5, and then he gave up 4 runs in the 6th. But I guess there are some encouraging signs. And Mengden is at the Angels next week. Look, we're not starting him, Mike, probably in standard mixed leagues. But do you see some appeal there at Daniel Mengden at the Angels?
I mean, sure. I feel like you have a lot more to lose than gain with it. I'm still not trusting in him.
Starters hit Chris Tillman at Toronto.
Nope. That's dangerous coming off the start he just had, and I'm not sure he's quite right since his DL stint either.
Jeff Samardzija with a great start at the Padres yesterday, which inspired me to look up all the Padres matchups for next week, by the way. Actually, Samardzija's numbers right now aren't terrible with .383 ERA, but he gets Colorado at home next week, and that's almost a bad thing. I'd almost rather him pitch at Coors Field. He's like the best Coors Field pitcher ever, Jeff Samardzija, but the bottom line is he's very good against Colorado. 3 starts this season, all of them very good. Are you starting a one-start Samardzija?
I think I probably am, because the Giants contending for wild card spotter are going to ride him pretty hard. And .248 ERA in his last 10 starts, so he's on a good run.
Oh, by the way, Sergio Romo, another save. So that's a closer you could pick up that might actually make a difference for you in the last week of the season. Not to say that he's going to get every save chance, but I think you'd have to bet on him above anyone else.
Sure.
Irvin Santana, He will face the Royals on the road. His last start at the Royals was on August 21st. It was a month ago. He struck out 10 Royals in 7 innings and gave up 1 run. But he hasn't been that great lately. Starters hit Santana next week.
I think I would start him still. He hasn't been as good as he was at his best, but still been good enough to start.
How about Blake Snell at the White Sox?
No, way too many walks.
How about Ricky Nolasco against Oakland next week?
I've tried to figure out what's going on with Ricky Nolasco because 4 of his last 5 starts have been great. And he's throwing his two-seamer more, which I thought meant maybe he flipped the ground ball, fly ball ratio, and home runs have hurt him so much in the past that would seem like good reasoning behind this improvement. But inconclusive how it's affected his ground ball to fly ball ratio, so I'm not sure there's anything to it, and I'm still pretty scared of him.
Before we get into the two-star pitchers, I've been telling you about Harry's Razors for a while. So just please listen to this because the offer just got even better. Now
what?
There's really no reason not to try Harry's Razors. You can upgrade your shave for free. As I've said, I use Harry's Razors now. This morning I used Harry's. Go to HARRYS.com to find out more. It's an incredibly close and comfortable shave. It's the best shave I've gotten. Such an upgrade. Guys, you're used to what you've been using. I know. I've been there. You've settled in with your razor. It's tough to make the change, but Harry's is higher quality. Harry's does not believe in upcharging. Harry's improves their razors without raising prices. And Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades that they're going to send you their popular free trial set. So that's a razor, 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. The only thing you need to pay for is shipping. And if you enter the code FBT at checkout, you get a post-shave balm. So enter that code FBT to get the post-shave balm. It's a great product. I have it. It smells awesome. It comes free with the code FBT. So they're giving you so much stuff to get your shave on at harrys.com with the promo code FBT. Go ahead and try it for free. The only thing you pay for is shipping. Go to harrys.com, enter FBT at checkout to claim your free trial set and the post-shave balm. That's harrys.com. The code is FBT. Really great offer. Please take advantage. Two-star pitcher time. All right, so I'm going to just name all of them, and you're going to tell me if we should start them, and you're also going to tell us if they're actually going to make two starts because, you know, buyer beware. And we'll have another podcast on Monday to help you out. But Max Scherzer, we spoke about Kluber, Verlander, Sale, Hendricks. Doesn't matter if they're making one or two starts, you're starting them. Tanner Roark, Arizona and Miami.
I think he pretty much also falls in the category. It doesn't matter if he's making two starts or one, but I think there's a good chance he makes two so that he's not too rested. That would be a Monday, Saturday situation. And then his playoff start, even if he's number two for the Nationals, that would be what, Saturday, the following Saturday. So yeah, a week's enough rest probably.
Yeah. I think it's Saturday. Kenta Maeda at San Diego and at San Francisco.
This
is a Tuesday-Sunday situation.
Right. You know, Maeda at San Diego, that first start, that's must start. So, again, I don't think it really matters. And I'd flip a coin on whether or not he makes that second start.
Felix Hernandez, another Tuesday-Sunday at Houston and home against Oakland. Coming off a good start, but he was coming off some bad starts. So do we trust Felix Hernandez again?
We don't trust him, but two good matchups. Pretty confident he's going to make both of those starts. And if you want volume and you don't worry so much about protecting ERA and WHIP, yeah, I think he's a must.
Yeah, and Zach Greinke had a nice start at San Diego, but he walked 4 batters. And, you know, six innings in 5 of his last 6 starts, 4 of those quality starts, 1 terrible start. So he hasn't been that, like, awful, Greinke, but he is walking a lot of batters right now. He's at Washington on Tuesday, home against the Padres. That's nice, on Sunday.
4 walks and 3 straight starts. I think that's the first time in his career he's done that. And that coincides with him adding a little hitch to his delivery. Like, he hesitates in the middle of his delivery to throw off hitter's timing or something, but seems to have compromised his control. He's kind of trying to find himself right now, and it's a rough time of year to do that.
Starter sit.
I think he's a safe enough bet to make two starts that you have to start him.
Jay Happ is scheduled to make two starts. The Yankees on Monday, the Red Sox on the road on Sunday. They might have everything sewn up by then, the Red Sox, so they could be sitting guys. What do you think about Hap?
Yeah, who's the Blue Jays number one? Because they have, they're going to be in the wild card game, presumably. I mean, unless the Red Sox collapse. They would be in the wild card game. They'd want their number one for that.
I think there's an equal chance that they're going to have to win on Sunday to get in.
Right.
You know?
I mean, and then there's also home field advantage. Do they? You want to use your number one to secure home field advantage and then sacrifice him for the actual game.
If I knew I was in the wild card, not when my number two is like Stroman or Marco Estrada. I think he's going to make the start. I think they're going to need to win that game, or they're going to be eliminated at that point.
And honestly, I guess it's not unthinkable you'd sit a one-start Hap, but I think it's pretty unlikely you would.
I'm cool with him against the Yankees, but I almost would rather Hap make one start rather than face the Red Sox in the second start in Fenway.
Yeah, maybe Roto owners would feel the same way.
All right, Iwakuma at Houston and home against Oakland.
I'm just going to say yes to that. Yes on all accounts.
Bartolo Colon at Miami and at Philadelphia.
And I will say yes on all accounts to that,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes. Ian Kennedy, Tuesday, Sunday, Minnesota and Cleveland.
The Royals aren't really competing for anything, so probably make that second start, and I think he's good enough to stick with in a two-star week.
John Lackey, Tuesday and Sunday at Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. He's not going to pitch Tuesday. Because they are doing that bullpen thing.
Yeah, bullpen game. Yeah.
So he's not going to be a two-star pitcher.
No, just a one-star pitcher. Yeah.
Lackey. But
and he's fine as a one-starter. Yeah.
Wainwright, Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh at home.
No. They're not the Brewers. I'd rather not.
Matt Moore, Colorado and the Dodgers at home, Tuesday and Sunday.
The left-hander, more at being a left-hander going against the Dodgers, that did not work out so well on Wednesday.
Tough break. Considering he almost threw a no-hitter against them the last time out, that was hard to see coming.
But I really think the Giants, the NL wildcard race is going to come down to the wire, and I do think we'll see a full second start for Moore. And I think he's probably somebody you need to start, both home starts, so that's good, if nothing else.
Colin McHugh, Seattle, and at the Angels.
His last few starts have been okay, but just not good enough for me to trust him.
Eichhoff at Atlanta, home against the Mets.
I kind of think he's a must.
Yeah,
just because lack of alternatives. He's always been fine, two pretty good matchups.
Yeah. Drew Smiley, sit him, two road starts in bad ballparks.
Fair enough.
Tom Kohler, Mets at home, Nationals on the road.
Yeah, that track record against the Nationals didn't go so well for him last time.
No.
He's borderline. If you want the volume, you could do worse, but I don't think he's a must.
Luke Weaver, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh at home.
As rocky as those last two starts were, I don't think you should bother with him.
James Shields, no.
Yeah, I don't think Shields is actually making two starts.
Luis Sessa, Boston and Baltimore at home. I'm worried about the home runs. But
me
he's
too.
Not bad. He's not bad.
Mm.
He's not a bad pitcher. I think he might be bad this week.
Okay.
Sessa. What do you think? Start or sit?
No, sit. I wouldn't. Outside of AL only, I wouldn't bother.
Archie Bradley at Washington, home against San Diego.
No thanks.
Chad Kuhl, Cubs and Cardinals.
One of the better you'll find on waivers, as we said earlier.
It's not a great week.
No.
Clay Buchholz at the Yankees in Toronto. I know you like Kuhl better. No way are you trusting Ryan Vogelsong against the Cubs and Cardinals.
Nope.
Jared Weaver's been pitching better lately. Oakland and Houston, but no, nah. Can't.
Nope.
Barrios, no. Stevenson, no. Clevinger at Detroit and at Kansas City.
Maybe. Maybe Clevinger. Last three starts have all been pretty good. Two of them were four innings, and this most recent one's five innings. But the Indians, he's going to be part of the Indians' playoff rotation just because they don't have any other options. So while You know, a lot of playoff starters are going to be resting the final week. I think they'll be pushing him to go farther, which helps distinguish him beyond just the way he's pitched recently. And I think he's kind of a sneaky play.
All right. Just a few more to start guys. That's Clevinger we were just talking about. Ross Detweiler. Would you rather start Detweiler at the Angels and at Seattle or Clevinger?
Clevinger.
Herman Marquez. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's spelled German Marquez. Colorado starting pitcher at San Francisco, home against Milwaukee. Had a nice outing last time out.
Yeah, and the minor league numbers are okay, but I just think it's stakes are too high to take that kind of stab in the dark.
Oh, now I want stakes. Buck Farmer, Ryan Weber. We're not starting these guys, right?
What kind of food's being catered at this wedding?
I don't know.
You know, you didn't pick an option?
I don't think so. So that probably means I've been seeing a lot of buffet style weddings lately.
Yeah.
I think that's been sort of popular, and I think I've seen a lot of macaroni and cheese or like mashed potato stands. You ever had mashed potato
comfort stand? Food? Mashed potato stand?
Like, yeah, like a stand where you kind of make
it's like omelets but mashed potatoes.
Kind of, yeah, and you put some like really good stuff in the mashed potatoes. It's delicious.
Sounds delicious. I've never seen that though.
After a while, it's like I'm eating way too many potatoes. But until you get to that point, I mean, it's actually a pretty cool idea. It's good stuff. Like you put like bacon and cheese and meat, whatever you want in there.
Oh yeah, some chives. You could chives.
You could chive it up. Yeah,
you could.
All right, some of the most added players here: Robert Gazelman. He does have, I think, the Phillies next week. Yes, he does. One start week. He's the most added player in CBSSports.com. This most added list is really still reflecting last week. Gazelman, Drury, Ryan Healy, Ariel Miranda, Brad Peacock, Sean Rodriguez, Taiwan Walker, Musgrove, AJ Cole. Yeah.
To such a sliver of the initial fantasy baseball audience. Like, it doesn't even show up in the roster trends anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's basically what it is. And Jarrell Cotton, I mean, we're going to be able to talk about these guys on Monday because a lot of them are starting this weekend, like Cotton and Alex Reyes.
Gazelman,
yeah. Seth Lugo had a bad start yesterday. That was disappointing.
Yeah, it was. He was my payday pitcher of the day. It's 2 days in a row. Hasn't paid off.
That sucks. So why even listening to us anyway? Weekend streaming options. People want to know who they can stream this weekend. This one I'm doing on the fly. So, Brian Mitchell, Francisco Liriano. You know, Liriano's not a terrible option tonight against the Yankees. What do you think?
He's not a terrible option. I agree with that statement.
Yeah,
it's not a must.
Kind of depleted lineup. Shelby Miller, Yovani Gallardo. No, right?
No.
Gio and Jameson Taillon.
Taillon, I'd be okay with. I guess I'd be okay with both if it's a stardom or nothing situation, but
sure,
a little risky too.
Miguel Gonzalez and Trevor Bauer.
I think I'm okay with both of them. Also, I feel a little more secure with Miguel Gonzalez, if you can believe it.
I can believe it. Quality QSM, Miguel Gonzalez, quality star machine. Danny Duffy and Michael Fulmer. Those are not streaming options. Matt Whistler. Miami against Andrew Cashner.
I might steer clear of Michael Fulmer, actually, to go back to the last game. But who are the
sorry, Whistler and Cashner.
Cashner? I'm going to say no to both of them. Whistler's just been too up and down since returning from the DL.
Are you nervous about starting Pomerantz and Archer tonight, Boston at Tampa Bay?
Well, not really Archer, even though the matchup's tough. He's been pretty reliable of late. But Pomeranz with the workload concerns. I mean, the fact he's going against the Rays, and again, for this exercise, it's a pretty low threshold we're meeting for starting a pitcher. I think I'd call Pomeranz a start.
Ooh, I don't. All right. It's tough. He's been pretty, yeah.
You have to know your situation. Obviously, if you don't really need strikeouts and wins, then okay, why mess with Pomeranz? Yeah. But most people probably do need strikeouts and wins.
Helixson and Gabriel Ynoa tonight. Phillies at Mets. This was supposed to be Steven Matz.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to get the right list up.
Helixson,
so
Gabriel Ynoa. Helixson, you start?
I think Helixson.
I think he's been pretty bad against the Mets, though.
I don't care. It's the Mets.
They just scored like 20 runs yesterday, or 9 or something.
I'm fine with Helixson.
Cincinnati at Milwaukee, Di Sclafani and Zach Davies. Maybe Zach Davies is a decent streamer?
He's not bad. I think he's kind of underrated to begin with, and I'm not really scared of the matchup, but Anthony DeSclafani's my payday pitcher of the day.
Oh, do it, Anthony DeSclafani.
Got that, the Brewers pitcher elixir.
Angels and Astros, Alex Meyer and Doug Fister. I kind of feel like Fister, I'm going to look it up because I know he's had good numbers against his division. Let's see what Fister's done against the Angels. I'm just looking for streaming option, you know. I don't trust Fister.
Yeah, you care about this stuff a little more than I do. The
6 innings, 1 earned run. 7 innings, 2 runs. And that's it. He hasn't faced them in like 3 months, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No.
I wouldn't trust it.
Yeah, no.
James Paxton, Kyle Gibson.
Paxton, yeah, he's, the last couple starts have been good enough that I'm back on board him. Pretty good matchup.
Why? Don't pitch to Brian Dozier. Just walk him. Or, like, if you want to save your arm, just hit him. It's one pitch, put him on base. John Gray and Scott Kazmir, Colorado at the Dodgers.
I would definitely pass on Kazmir, first start we've seen from him in weeks. Gray, he's fresh off that 16 strikeout outing, right, where he threw 113 pitches. But that was against the Padres, and this is the Dodgers. Only if I needed strikeouts would I start Gray.
Okay, yeah, and that was his last start. It was against the Padres, as you mentioned.
Yeah, right.
So we've got the Rangers and the A's, Cole Hamels. I know you're sitting Kendall Graveman. Are you starting Cole Hamels tonight?
Makes me a little uncomfortable with the way he's pitched recently, but I think you should. I think you shouldn't overthink it. He's Cole Hamels. He's going against the A's. Just trust in who he is.
Albert Suarez, Edwin Jackson, are you starting either of those guys?
No.
All right, so if you want, let's do a quick scan of the Saturday games and the Sunday games. I'm certainly not going to read every matchup. I'll throw out some names, like Alex Reyes at the Cubs. Start or sit?
I think you give him a shot. Run him out there. Probably won't be the Cubs' A lineup, so give it a try.
How about Dan Straley at the Brewers?
Yeah, good matchup. I'll keep running him out there.
How about Wei-Yin Chen against the Braves?
No. Second start back from the DL. He hasn't been good all year.
How about Ariel Miranda at the Twins?
I don't love Miranda, but it's an okay matchup. You could do worse if you need an extra start.
Brad Peacock against the Angels.
Peacock against the Angels. Definitely don't trust Peacock. No thanks.
Clayton Kershaw against the Rockies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that really in doubt?
No. Pineda Estrada. Would you start either of those guys?
Going against each other, I assume.
Yeah. In Toronto.
At Yankees. Well, they're both
Toronto.
Bad. Maybe Estrada, but it's not. I don't know. It's kind of scary.
Are you trusting Carlos Rodon or Josh Tomlin? White Sox at Indians.
I'd be more likely to trust Tomlin. A little more disaster potential there, but 2 good starts, and he's usually good for a low whip when he's right. So, yeah, I think I'd roll the dice on him.
Eduardo Rodriguez, he's 58% owned. He's at Tampa Bay on Sunday. This is a guy I would stream. I would do it. I'd pick him up and stream Eduardo Rodriguez. How about you?
Me too.
Matt Boyd against the Royals.
Coming off his best start, I'd be okay with it.
Willie Peralta against the Reds.
I'd rather not.
Joe Musgrove against the Angels.
Yeah, that's fine.
Taiwan Walker at Minnesota.
I obviously wish his last start was better. It was against the Blue Jays, though. This is the Twins. I think I'd Give him another shot.
And you'll sit Jarrell Cotton, the Rangers on Sunday.
I like that you just don't even let me answer when they're facing the Rangers. You are so scared of this Rangers lineup.
Would you start Jarrell Cotton against the Rangers?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. It's just funny how, like, that's where you draw the line, Rangers lineup.
I want to see, well, like, I would start Cole Hamels against the Rangers. I was trying to think of like a pitcher that's kind of iffy, not Jarrell Cotton.
That situation that would never apply, yes. Cole Hamels against the Rangers.
The Rangers have cooled off. These are their runs scored in their last, what is this, like 10 games? 2, 4, 3, 4, 7, 2, 2, 3, 5, 4. So they've cooled off quite a bit. Interesting.
Star-studded lineup still.
It is. Quite star-studded. You know what? I'm going to end the show on this. I have no idea what the standings are in the American League. Like, I know who's winning the divisions. I know the wild card. I don't know who's going to win the American League. Oh my gosh. Are you aware of this race for first place?
I didn't know it was quite this close. I knew no one was running away with it like in the NL, but
this is remarkable. Texas is 90-63. Cleveland is 89-63. And Boston is 89-64.
Tight race.
Tight race.
Host the wild card team. Who wants it?
So that's, yeah, the wild card. Those teams in the wild card picture are not as good as, well, no, I mean,
Blue Jays,
the Red Sox are going to, it's so obvious the Red Sox are going to win. Give me a break.
Oh, come on. Have you watched baseball playoffs before, Adam?
No, I never have. I mean, I might try it this year, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, that's it for the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. Very sorry about no episode yesterday. Hopefully we were able to help you today. So have a great weekend. Monday, our last show, but starting Monday, we're going once a week. So be prepared for that. Goodbye, Scott.
Have a good one, Adam. Enjoy the wedding.
Oh, I will. And everybody, take it easy. Talk to you Monday. Machado.